Richard Lloyd-Jones was an old man. He was 90s, late 80s. He's about my age, a little over, when I first came. So I got to know him. And his wife, Georgia Jones, who was a great woman. She was arrested with Margaret Sanger on the streets of New York City for Planned Parenthood back in the early 20s. She was a force. The Joneses used to pretty well dominate that congregation. And I wasn't going to be dominated, obviously. So we came to an agreement right early on. Jenkins used to argue with me occasionally. Well, he wouldn't be in church, but I said, well, how did you hear what I said then? Well, he said, I heard about it. I said, would you like to have a copy of the sermon? Yeah, all right. So we'd go at it. Well, he loved that. He would stop by my house on Sunday night sometime to argue with me about my sermon. So we struck up a kind of relationship because of that. And, of course, Bisser, his sister, the sisters, we'd stayed with them because she was a real churchman. Bud Barnett owned Brookside Bank, just down the street from the church. That was a great relationship. And then Richard Lloyd-Jones, the third, whose airport's named after, he was probably my greatest support. He was a Democrat. Remember
Clayton? Renegade, yeah.
Yeah, he was a renegade. Remember the time one of them came out for the Republican candidate and the other one came out for the Democratic candidate? Had two editorials in the Tribune, remember that? But anyway, I had this relationship, and then over the years, you know, married the daughters and christened the babies and married the, you know, how that works.
But it's not to suggest that the congregation was Republican.
No, but half of it was.
And the other half?
Were Democrat, much to the great amazement of everybody.
That's almost unheard of in the Unitarian world, isn't it?
I would think so. Well, in New England, they were all Republican up there. We're talking about the Saltonstalls and the old Boston Brahmins. They were the Unitarians up there, and they were pretty much Rock River Republican up that way.
But the modern church reputation for being liberal in almost any congregation you go into.
Yeah. But this church, at one time, that was the time when Nixon was elected. Other than that, we had in that congregation every chair of every candidate running for president, including George Wallace, in that congregation. Nixon was the only candidate we didn't have. We had the Rockefeller chairman. We had, I've forgotten who they all were now.
Chairman of their committees to elect.
Yeah. A couple of them were state chairs and so forth. That was the kind of thing that was going on in there. Jack Short was a legislator. He was a senator, I think a state senator at one time early on. He would meet me about half the time when I walked down. I didn't agree with a word you said, but I will fight to the death your right to say it. You know, that was Jack every Sunday morning just about.
He was a Rockefeller Republican.
Uh-huh. But that was that congregation.
Would the Tribune in this case ever editorialize against anything that you said in the church?
No. But I had an ally in the Tulsa World, by name Beth Macklin, great newspaper woman, wrote more copy than anybody else in town, I imagine.
Ran the religion beat for 30 years, at least.
When I came to town, she was the executive director of the Tulsa Council of Churches. I'd gotten a call from her. She said, would you come down to see me? Now, she had a little bitty office in the old YWCA, and I went up to see Beth. She said, now, you can't be a member of the Tulsa Council of Churches because you're not a Christian, you know. You don't believe in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and all that sort of stuff. But would you head the Social Action Committee? She was a round woman. She was addicted to Coca-Cola. She was amazing. I said, you're kidding me, aren't you? She says, oh, no. She says, I'm bound and determined. Would you do that? I said, sure. Will they have me? She says, I can fix that. Well, then she left that and became the church editor to the Tulsa World. And my notoriety was largely due to Beth Macklin. Beth Macklin would come to church and literally take the manuscript of my sermon off the pulpit and publish it the next day in the Tulsa World. This is how the sermon, The Last Days of Dr. Mason, came on. This is why Tulsa's Hick Town appeared on the front page of the Tulsa World.
John, you might point out that the times that she did that were not the times that you gave sermons about hope and love and justice, but more often the times that you gave sermons about what's wrong with Tulsa and how we need to improve it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She'd get the parish notes, and she would see what the topic was, and then she'd show up. She was a good Methodist. I forgot what congregation, out in Broken Arrow, I think. But boy, I tell you, she was something. Frosty Troy asked me one time, he says, whatever happened to you? You used to be, you know. I said, well, Beth died.
She took topics and sermons that she knew readers would react to, so she was selective then. It wasn't like it was every Sunday.
No. She was looking for news.